We'll turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, the fifth chapter. And the way that it begins here is very good, because it's not we think, it's not we hope so, it is for we know. It's good to know. It's good to be absolutely certain of things. And there are things that we can be certain about. And Paul speaks of that, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, he's referring to the human body, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. In various prayer meetings in recent times, we have been talking about some things that encourage us as we come to pray. Things that we ought to have in our minds that will be a comfort to us as we come to the throne of grace. We have spoken about these things repeatedly, about God's pardon and a sense of that which enables us to pray. We come through the blood of the Lamb, knowing that we have cleansing and forgiveness from our sins. Then we talk about God's presence. We need that all the time in our lives. We certainly need to feel the Lord's presence as we pray. And we often talk about prayer that we're coming into the Lord's presence. And that's exactly right. We are coming into the Lord's presence in a particular sense. It's not that the Lord's not present with us all the time. He is. But when we meet together, God is particularly present with his people. And he promises to be there where two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst of them. It's not that he's not with us the rest of the time, but he's specially and particularly present when we meet for worship. And then there's God's power. We need that. We need a vision of God's power, what God is able to do. And we have God's promises that sustain us as we come to pray. We think about God's provision. That's what we seek for as we pray. We want the Lord to answer prayer, to provide for us all that we need in every possible way. We talk about God's perseverance with us, his faithfulness, the fact that he always stays with us, even in spite of our unfaithfulness. He is a faithful God. We spoke of God's peace and how we need peace when we come to pray. A lot of times we have turbulence in our lives. We have turbulence in our hearts. We're not at peace when we come to the throne of grace. But yet, at the throne of grace, oftentimes the Lord speaks that word of peace to our hearts. And he says, peace be still. Just be settled in my presence. The Lord does that for us. And we need God's peace. We also thought last time then about the wisdom of the Lord, or God's prudence, and how that we have that thought in our minds as we come to pray. God knows what we need. And he knows what we don't need. And he's able to supply our needs, but he's also able to tell us no when the need arises for that. Because sometimes the things that we might ask for would not be good for us. So we have the prudence of the Lord to think about when we come to pray. Lord, thou dost know what is best, and we come to thee. Tonight I want to finish this series, which started out not being a series, but has turned into one, by talking about God's place. You might say, well, what do you mean by God's place? Well, God's place, as Solomon discovered when he prayed, is heaven. Oftentimes, if you were to read the prayer of Solomon, he referred to the Lord and his dwelling place as being heaven. He says, we pray unto thee, we talk to thee, and we ask thee to hearken unto our supplications that we make toward this place. Hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place. As it is in 2 Chronicles 6 and verse 21, at the end of that verse. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. And that's interesting because over and over again Solomon uses that same terminology, even here in 2 Chronicles 6, for example, in verse 23, then hear thou from heaven. Or as it is in verse 25, then hear thou from the heavens. And so on. Verse 27, then hear thou from heaven. Heaven is God's dwelling place in a particular sense. Now we know that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere present in his fullness at one and the same time. There is nowhere that God is not. But yet in a particular sense, and Solomon has this in mind, heaven is referred to as his dwelling place. Or as the psalmist puts it, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. He speaks of heaven, and that is God's place. Whenever Jesus talked to the disciples in John chapter 14 with those lovely comforting words, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. He then said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That place is heaven itself. And Paul talked about this place in 2 Corinthians 5, as we've just read. He talked about that place as being where God is. Because while we're in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And he says, we're willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And the thought there of being present with the Lord is being at home. In the very same passage, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, he uses that terminology. Therefore, we're always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And then he says, we're confident, verse 8, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, that word present there in the Greek language is the same word that is translated in verse 6, at home. So it's very right and it's very proper for us to speak about being at home with the Lord. When somebody dies and goes to heaven, they're going home. Heaven is God's dwelling place. Now, what has that got to do with prayer? Well, whenever we pray, we are, to use the words of the hymn writer, we are entering heaven with prayer. Of course, he has in mind particularly when a person actually does pass away, entering up into heaven. But there's a sense in which as we seek the Lord, we are entering heaven. We are communing with God in heaven. We're not physically going to heaven. We're not having an out-of-body experience. Don't go away saying, our pastor believes that when you pray, you have an out-of-body experience and you're transported like in a telepod up to heaven. No, that's not what I believe. But what I do believe is that when we pray, we are ascending in our hearts unto God. And that's why, incidentally, I think it's a good thing. You may not. You may feel that you should watch and pray. But I think it's a good thing to close your eyes when you pray. And the reason for that is to shut out everything else. That's the reason for it. It's not because there's any sort of spiritual virtue in that. But it's because you're able to shut everything else out of your mind and think about the Lord and think about the things of God and think about what you're praying. I wouldn't try that when you're driving the car, though. You can certainly watch and pray when you're driving or doing something else, operating machinery or doing something that might injure you if you close your eyes. But it's just a thought. When we think about heaven, we think about God's place. And this brings before us the matter of consideration. When we come to pray, we ought to be considering heaven. I think that's quite straightforward. When we're coming to God, it automatically causes us to think about that which is above. We're coming to pray, and yes, it's true that the Lord is in our midst. Yes, it's true that the Lord is present with us, but really, in a sense, we're praying to one who is in heaven. Heaven, thy dwelling place. He is in that place that we call home, our final home, our eternal home. That's the place where the Father is. And whenever Jesus prayed in John 17:24, he made reference to that when he prayed for all believers in this way: Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. Now tell me, where is Jesus? Well, when the disciples in Acts chapter 1 were looking up, where were they looking up towards? They were looking up toward heaven, and they saw the Lord ascend from them up into heaven. Mark 16, at the end of that chapter, it tells us the same thing, that the Lord Jesus ascended up into heaven, and now he's seated on the right hand of God. Where I am, that's where Jesus is. He's in heaven. And so when we pray, there ought to be this consideration of heaven. It's a good thing for us to pray, because we're so earthbound. Our minds are so caught up in earthly things. And the Bible says that we are to ascend in our minds, that we are to lift our minds heavenward. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, up there, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, it means your mind, on things above, not on things on the earth. That's what we do when we pray. There is this consideration. We are to think of ourselves as strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The hymn writer John Kenick wrote, "Ye are travelling home to God, in the way the fathers trod. They are happy now, and ye soon their happiness shall see." That ought to be a consideration of ours when we come to pray. Thinking about heaven. Thinking about the fact that the Lord is there. That he is on the right hand of the Father on high. And it's hard for us to think about heaven, because we've never been there. We don't know what it's like. But all we know is what the Bible tells us about it. And it's good for us to consider heaven as we come to pray. I think it's pretty much impossible to pray aright unless we do think of heaven. Because we're coming to God. We're coming to seek the Lord in the name of Jesus. But there's something else when we come to pray and we think about God's place. It ought to be with anticipation. With anticipation, looking forward to that time when he will bring us home to glory. Now, it may not be the Lord's will to take us to heaven today or tomorrow or next week or next month. It could be. We just don't know how long the Lord will leave us there, but he will leave us here as long as he wants us here. And while we're here, we're to live as pilgrims and strangers on the earth. And time is moving on. And every day brings us a day's march nearer home, as the hymn says. When you think of the hymns, even our own hymn book, but many good hymn books, good hymnals are full of references to heaven. They speak a lot about heaven. We speak of the land of the blessed, that country so bright and so fair, and oft are its glories confessed, but what must it be to be there? We sing hymns like that. In the sweet by and by, we sing hymns like that. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me, glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will through the ages be glory for me. It's good to think about heaven. But it's good to think about heaven because that's where we're going. When we pray, we anticipate the fact that we're going to go to heaven. We're going to see the Lord someday face to face. When Paul wrote these words in 2 Corinthians 5, it was from the standpoint of one who doesn't yet see. He says we're absent from the Lord because we're at home in this body. And the words in parenthesis are very important. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Many Christians, I think, want to walk by sight. They don't want to walk by faith. And there are folks who have all these grandiose ideas about actually seeing the Lord. I remember hearing a preacher who's famous back in my country. He's a Pentecostal preacher, not surprisingly. And he was talking one day about the fact that in his church, and he took the cameraman to the very place and to the very seat. He said, sitting right here, Jesus appeared to me right there. I saw him. And you know what I thought? I don't believe you.
There you are.
I don't believe you. Well, you say you're very hard. You're very harsh. No. The Bible says in the New Testament, now we know him no more after the flesh. We don't know the Lord after the flesh right now. And it does tell us of that great day, however, that we can anticipate in 1 John chapter 3. These are the words of Scripture, not the word of some preacher who thinks he's seen the Lord. Beloved, verse 2 of 1 John 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's when we will see him as he is, when he shall appear. That is his second coming. And we will see the Lord. But until then, we can see him by faith. And it's not wrong to have the desire that Paul had, a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. We think of Abraham in the Old Testament. He lived with the anticipation of heaven. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He wasn't looking for an earthly inheritance merely, though the Lord gave him that. He was looking for a heavenly home. Here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I have a mansion, as the little hymn says, just over the hilltop. My Father's house on high, home of my soul, how near. At times to faith's far-seeing eye, thy golden gates appear. Do you ever think about heaven? It's going to be wonderful to be in heaven. And as we pray, we anticipate that. We anticipate heaven. We think about the fact that one day we shall be there and we'll see the Lord face to face. Meantime, we see him by faith and we commune with him. And we ascend in prayer into his very presence. Consideration, anticipation, and then best of all, there is the thought of realization. When we come to the Lord in prayer, and we can talk to the Lord, and he talks to us, it is but a foretaste of what it will be like when we're in heaven. And when we're in heaven, it'll not be walking by faith, it'll be walking by sight. We'll be right in his immediate presence. We will have what the theologians call the beatific vision. That is seeing the Lord in all of his glory. The one who loved us and who gave himself for us. And only then will we be able to say with any real truth, we're at home. It's always nice when you've been away somewhere on vacation or a long trip or something to come in through the door, turn the key and come into the house and say, ah, it's good to be home. Well, if that's the way it is, even here on this earth, with an imperfect home, what will it be like to be in heaven? In that place of full realization. A place where there's no sin. A place where there's no imperfection. A place where we don't hear the Lord's name being taken in vain and swearing on every hand and all kinds of debauchery surrounding us. There is a land of pure delight where saints immortal reign, the hymn says. And we can rejoice in the comfort that's given to the saints of God in Scripture that they have a home to go to. We often think it's a great sad thing, it's a great shame that there are people in this life that are homeless. And we think to ourselves, you know, that must be an awful thing to be sleeping under a newspaper or cardboard or whatever. Sleeping under a bridge or an overpass. There are people like that. We feel sorry for them. Oftentimes it's as a result of their sin or somebody else's sin that they've ended up in that place. And so it's nice even physically to say that we have a home to go to. But it's far more a delight to our souls to think about the fact that we have a home to go to spiritually. We're not here forever, but we're going to see the Lord face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Not too long ago, a godly elder in our church in Mount Marion, Mr. Ferguson, went to be with the Lord. And I remember well gathering on a Tuesday night at the prayer meeting. He was always there. You never had to think, I wonder, will Willie be at the prayer meeting tonight? He was always at the prayer meeting. And he always prayed right after me. And he would always pray this when he prayed, about seeing the Lord face to face and telling the story, saved by sovereign grace. And he prayed that for years, no doubt. But not that long ago, he entered into the experience of that. He knows what it is now, I believe, along with his dear wife who died within a month of his death. He knows what it is to see the Lord face to face and to be able to sing forever that great story, saved by sovereign grace. That's realization. One day we're going to be at home with the Lord. Until then, we have to live in what the preacher called the nasty now and now, instead of the sweet by and by. This life can be hard, it can be difficult, but let's live with the anticipation of heaven before us. It's not going to be long till we're there. It's not going to be long. You'll know as well as I do that the birthdays, the older you get, seem to come ever quicker. It's an amazing thing that it just seems to happen quicker and quicker. Someone told me, well, now when you get to be 40 and you get over the hill, you start to pick up speed. Going downhill is quicker. That must be true. But it's a day's march nearer home. And we shouldn't be discouraged. The Lord will have us here as long as we're meant to be here. And as long as we're here, we can pray. And as long as we're here, we can commune with the Lord in that way. And it is an imperfect way, because we're not yet in the Lord's presence. And we're still full of sin and imperfection. But thank God we can pray with the anticipation of heaven before us. May we do that tonight. May we have heaven on our minds, even as we come to the throne of grace.